joined Off the Record with your host, Felicia. I am so excited to kick off this first episode. It is long overdue. So many of you guys, thousands, have emailed me, tweeted, sent me DMs on IG and emails over the course of my career to kick off something like this. And so welcome to Off the Record with your girl, Felicia. I am so excited to kick off this podcast. It is promised to be an unapologetic, real look at what it takes to be a young, black, successful woman in America, in the entertainment business or corporate America. So if you are a college student trying to figure out your purpose in life, if you are a young professional trying to get to the money, get to the bag, or if you are someone like me in your 30s or even older, who's interested in figuring out what you want to do next, this is your destination. So again, welcome to Off the Record with V. So today, we'll kick off with just a little bit about myself. Again, I'm in my late 30s. I grew up in a small town in North Carolina called Wilson. Shout out to Wide Awake Wilson. And it's one of the poorest districts in the country. And so for me as a young girl, I grew up wanting the bright lights of New York City, wanting to work in the entertainment industry, and didn't really have a blueprint or way to figure it out. And so I graduated from Clark Atlanta University. Our motto there, and it still is today, is to find a way or make one. And that's exactly what we had to do as young professionals. I went to Clark with people like Mace, the rapper from Bad Boy, Brian Michael Cox, Grammy Award winning producer, DJ Drama, and so many people who at the time were just like you and me, wanting to figure out what we wanted to do with our lives. And we were able to do that, again, with no blueprint. So shout out to all of those guys. And again, welcome to Off the Record. I graduated from Clark with a degree in political science. And then I went on to work for music mogul Russell Simmons. I went from intern to vice president of his company over a 7-year period. I've worked for President Barack Obama as his National Youth Vote Director for his Obama for America campaign. Oh, do we miss him so, especially right now in the White House. I also served in the Obama administration as the Deputy Director of Public Affairs for the International Trade Administration. And now I work for Google. Yes, Google, as the head of Black Community Engagement. And so it's been a wild ride. And I can honestly say that I never would have thought, as a college student at Clark or as a young girl growing up in North Carolina, that I would ever be able to host a podcast and share my story with you. And so welcome. And this is why I'm here. So I work for Google now. And as you guys know, social media has played such an important role in how we communicate, how we get information, and how we do things. And so professionally, I can honestly say that it's been, you know, a crazy, crazy ride. But, you know, women ask the question all the time, like, can you really have it all? And so I gave you my professional background, but also I want to share with you about a little bit about my personal life. You know, I always joke that bios are kind of like Instagram. They're the highlight reels of your life. You always hear the highs. You very rarely hear the lows. And that's what Off the Record is about. It's giving you the honest, real look at what we deal with as young women in business. I'm married. And I'm expecting my second child next week. Yes, I'm crazy like that. I am 9 months pregnant, about to explode, having my second son next week. And I'm so excited, not only to do this podcast at this time, but, you know, just to be raising a young black man in America right now at such an important time. I feel like it's a great responsibility and honor. So Dylan, that will be his name, will be here any day now. But I'm also married to NBA champion Dante Jones. He's played in the NBA for 14 years, most recently with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he's the love of my life, and we've been married now for 6 years. And so, you know, when you hear all of that, it's easy to think that it was easy, right? Oh, she's married to an NBA star. Oh, you know, they have 2 kids. You know, oh, she works for Google. And it sounds sexy, but I can honestly say that at 39 years old, when I was 30 years old, I hit a breaking point. I did not know who I was going to marry. I didn't have kids. And like so many of us as women, 30 was a scary number for me. I felt like I had not accomplished enough in life. I had not done enough professionally. And I had no idea who I was going to spend my life with. And so, you know, if you're at that age and you feel like you're at a crossroads now where you're working, you know, yourself in the ground, you're not sleeping, I know where you are. And you want to figure out, you know, who are you going to spend your life with and who are you going to share these experiences with? And I can honestly say and promise you that the timelines are not real. Looking back now, it's been almost 10 years since I was in that place. And while I'm so happy at how I did things and the moves I made, I rushed a lot of things because of those false timelines and expectations. So just a little nugget there that you don't have to rush. I promise you. Take your time and make sure more than anything that you are getting it right and you're finding the right partner, not just doing it because of age. So all of that said, there are things that you learn that I call the 10 work commandments. It's an ode to Biggie Smalls, rest in peace, of the 10 crack commandments. It's an ode to my girl, someone who's like a sister to me, Faith Evans. What's up, Faith? With the 10 wife commandments. But I'm calling this episode the 10 work commandments. And those are the things and the jewels that you don't learn on a college campus. You kind of figure out along the way. You stumble on them. You make those mistakes and those hard lessons. And so today is dedicated to, as a young woman in business, what are the 10 work commandments? What are the unwritten rules to success? And what steps do you have to take today, right now, to figure it out and get it right and avoid some of those landmines? So, with that said, a reminder of a couple of things. Current events, Blavity, shout out to Lauren of Blavity and the entire team, reported that Nielsen shows that black women are major trendsetters who influence mainstream culture. I'm going to say that again. Nielsen reports that black women are major trendsetters who influence mainstream culture. And what I have to say to that is, duh. I mean, we knew that. We knew we were lit. We knew that we've been making the trends for many, many decades. You think about Election Day with us showing out to the polls and up to the polls at 94%. Black women, we did that. If you think about our annual buying power of more than $1 trillion as black women, with us as the head of the household making most of those decisions. Again, black women. If you think about as black women entrepreneurs, how many people we hire, how many people we employ, how much revenue we generate for this country annually, the numbers are groundbreaking. And so it is quite frankly, and I say this not so humbly, but we're not surprised as black women that we are setting the trends. We've been doing it for quite a while. And it's about time that it's been recognized by very successful major publications and researchers at Nielsen. So thank you for putting the proof into some of the facts that we already knew. Also, today has just been a crazy day. The man that our country elected president, Trump, Twitter fingers have been back at it again. We know that today he sent out very disrespectful tweets. That I call distractions, targeting Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee, calling him a MF-er. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't get more disrespectful than that. I think that when we think about, you know, the way and the narrative of a Donald Trump trying to frame a kneel during the national anthem is something that is disrespectful to our country, I disagree with that. I actually consider that an exercise of his First Amendment rights. And, you know, when you think about the deeper issues, it's so easy to become distracted and forget that he's not just kneeling for the sake of kneeling, but it's because of the police brutality and the racial injustices that continue to happen in our country. And I salute and applaud the brother for taking a stand when no one else would. And so tomorrow is NFL Sunday. And if you go to my IG, you'll see, and this will air after that, but you'll see so many people encouraging all of us, not just NFL players, to bend and take a knee tomorrow and throughout this entire, you know, I don't even know what to call it. Quite frankly, it's a movement. It's a protest of our, it's an exercise of our right to protest, but really taking a stand and standing with Colin Kaepernick by bending. This Sunday is highly encouraged as a sign of solidarity. And then, of course, you've seen Also today, Donald Trump tweeting directly at NBA player Steph Curry. As much as we are competitive with Steph on the court, my husband and he played each other in the last couple of NBA finals. It's time to put basketball aside and think about something that's bigger. And Donald Trump actually tweeted that Steph Curry's invitation to the White House as a part of the Golden State Warriors has been rescinded because he was taking too long to respond. And then, of course, in classic LeBron fashion, he responded and said, actually, you can't rescind an invitation that has already been declined. So shout out to so many NBA players and leaders like LeBron James and Steph Curry for taking a stand and not backing down to the intimidation tactics of our president. But finally, I'll just say that, like, all of that's cool. Like, we could talk about it all day. But, again, distractions. If you think about what's happening with North Korea, if you think about the President Trump's military tactics, scare tactics, war threats that he's making on behalf of our country, it is a scary time. And we have got to remember to keep things in perspective, keep things in focus, and remember that our country elected someone that is very, very, very scary and unpredictable. And so we have an opportunity in the next election at the local level to make a difference, to make our voices heard, and to take a stand. And so you'll hear more about that in future episodes. So now that we got current events out of the way, it's time to get down to the brass tacks of being a Black woman in business and thinking about what it is that you stand for. And so when I started out my career, it began at HBO. The year was 2001. I had just dropped out of law school against my parents' wishes, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my life. And so I moved to New York City. I slept on my good friend Sabrina Thompson's couch in Brooklyn, New York. Shout out to Crown Heights. And I thought that it would be easy as a college graduate to move to New York City and get an unpaid internship. Right? Wrong. It was 6 months of people telling me no over and over again from companies like Interscope Records, Def Jam Records, and the list goes on of me wanting to work for free just to get my foot in the door and being denied over and over again. And I realized that the business that I wanted to work in was one of the most competitive in the world. And so I had to take that slice of humble pie. I finally eventually landed an unpaid internship with an agency called the Gersh Agency, who was a boutique agency that represented actors and actresses at the time. And it's so funny because my job at the time as an unpaid intern was to be seen and not heard. And so that meant that they put us in the back room with all of the files of all of the actors and actresses and their headshots and bios. And they just gave us one computer, four interns, one computer. And we would just look at the computer all day waiting for assignments to come in the inbox that we shared. And so they would tell us things like, okay, Valisha, we need you to go get Starbucks for someone. We need you to run to FedEx and mail off this package. Can you put together this package for Zoe Saldana and all these other people? And that's what we did. And 4 months later, I'll never forget that the most senior agent at that agency, he was a middle-aged white man, called me into his office. I'd never met him before. And within 10 minutes, he wanted to know why I worked so hard, who I was, and what was the motivation for me to be the first person there every day and the last person to leave. Within minutes, in a short conversation, he opened a door for me at HBO, introduced me to some friends of his there, and 7 interviews later, I landed the position of assistant to the president of HBO Sports. 7 interviews later for an assistant position. And that door was opened for me by a middle-aged white man that I had never spoken to before. And the lesson for me there was to always do the work when you think no one's watching. And that's one of the first commandments in business, especially as a young professional. It's so easy to get caught up in the hype, the acknowledgement, wanting to be rewarded for your work, wanting to be seen for your work. But in that case, it was a quick lesson at 21, 22 years of age that you can be rewarded even when you think no one's watching. And so for me, that blessing and that opportunity came for someone that from someone that I least expected, and it ended up opening an entire career path for me almost 20 years ago. So that's the first step. And then the second step was, after I got to HBO, I started realizing very quickly that for me, and this is not the same for everyone, that I did not want to do the traditional corporate career path at the time. And so I looked around and I started seeing people who were assistants still at my age, directors still at my age, vice presidents who were just maybe, you know, 10 or 20 years ahead of me. And I realized that that corporate grind, while it has its benefits and rewards, wasn't for me. I wanted to really get my feet in the door of a boutique agency where I could really learn and grind. So that was the first step. I wanted to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond, and I'll explain to you in a minute what that means. But then also, I wanted to really understand all of the inner workings of a smaller agency. And for me at that time, a big company, I just wasn't ready for what it would require to really understand how to navigate all of those spaces. And so I ended up a year later landing an unpaid internship with music mogul Russell Simmons. And I say landed, but I should stop and explain to you what that meant. I saw Russell on CNN one day, and he was talking about the upcoming presidential election and the role that young people would play in determining who our next president would be. And so I spent the next day or two literally studying Russell Simmons, understanding who he was, a little bit more of his background, especially as a businessman and a philanthropist. And it's like the light bulb went off, and I finally found in someone exactly what I wanted to do with my life. And that was a combination of entertainment mixed with community engagement, giving back to our people. And so for me, it was like I became unstoppable and determined to figure out how to get in the door with Russell Simmons. It just so happened that my boss of HBO at the time, and I do not recommend this at home, had Russell's email address in his Microsoft Outlook box. Yes, I stole Russell Simmons' email address, and I did it unapologetically. I took the email address, but I also sat on it for a few more days because I knew that the timing had to be right. I imagine that someone like Russell received thousands of emails like this a day, and he does. I can now confirm that. And so I waited until an early 6 a.m. morning on a Saturday, which is his yoga time. I figured that out through Google. And I emailed Russell Simmons the best possible 5-sentence pitch that I could. And it was a 5-sentence pitch because Russell is self-proclaimed to have ADD. So, you know, I figured that a person with attention deficit disorder would not read a long email. And so I gave it my best 5-sentence pitch, and it went something like this. Hi, Mr. Simmons. My name is Valicia Butterfield. I recently relocated to New York City from North Carolina. I am working for HBO right now, but unfulfilled. And I would find it the highest honor to come and work for your company, add value to your bottom line, and give back in a way that you haven't seen before. If you are interested in continuing the conversation, I see it as an opportunity for us to collaborate and for me to add value to your business. Something like that. I'm not getting it perfect. And within 2 minutes, Russell responded to that email. And a month later, I found myself in his office in New York City on the 42nd floor of the building. And I went in and met with Russell. And when I finally went in, I'm assuming that in that conversation, I'm going to be meeting with his assistant, the head of HR, someone other than Russell. And sure enough, they brought me into his office. And he completely forgot about the meeting. So imagine, you're 23 years old at this point. You scored a meeting with Russell Simmons. He personally responded to your email address. A month later, you're sitting in his office. And the minute you walk through the door, he says, "Who are you? And what the fuck are you doing in my office?" And in that very moment, it got real because I didn't know if I should roll over and die, play dead, and wait for an ambulance to carry me out in a stretcher, or if I should put on my grown woman panties and give my best shot. And that's what I did. And in that 5-minute conversation, I convinced him that I would be the hardest and smartest working person that he had ever brought into that office. And he introduced me to the entire office as their new intern. And so I'll just pause there and say that that took a lot of guts. And I'm not even talking about getting cursed out. I'm talking about the fact that I was willing to leave a paid position at HBO with a 401k plan and with a bonus package and all of the things that you get in compensation from a major company to take a few steps back to become an unpaid intern again for a shot at the career that I really wanted. And that's what I did. And so I will pause and just say that sometimes you have to be willing to invest in yourself. And that's the second commandment. So often I talk to young people and you guys tell me, hey, I'm not going to intern because I have a paid position here, or I'm not going to take that job because it doesn't pay enough and I'll go and get a retail job there that pays me more, or I'll go and be a makeup artist and make money on the side instead of taking the time to invest in the dream that you really want. And if it is a dream that you really want and if you believe it is your purpose in life, you've got to be willing to invest in yourself first. If not, no one else will. And that was the case with Russell. I invested in myself, took a few steps back, interned, hear me clearly, for 9 months unpaid for Russell Simmons in New York City, the most expensive city in the world, and then finally landed a paid position. And I firmly believe that if I were not willing then to invest in myself, he would have never made the investment in me. And so invest in yourself. That's commandment number two. Russell worked there for 7 years, interned to vice president. It was very competitive, lots of haters, lots of cutthroat people. The people that I thought were my friends and colleagues were the main ones that were not. And we'll talk in later episodes about how to navigate all of that. But I can honestly say that you've got to have thick skin, especially if you want to work in the entertainment industry. You can't take anything personal, although business is always personal. And that means that people want to like you. People want to get along with the people that they work with. And you have to become relatable, but also still have boundaries in those environments. And so my biggest policy, personal commandment when I worked for Russell was that I would never drink alcohol with the people that I worked with. So that was one. And so when everyone would leave work and turn up, when everyone would go out and hang out, I would go too. But I just had a personal policy because I know I'm not great with holding my alcohol and I would not drink with the people that I worked with. So that was commandment number three for me that I picked up along the way in Russell's office. And the second is you never want to sleep where you eat. Ladies, you never want to sleep where you eat. There were guys that tried it, would say everything in the world to me in that office. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You're the most loyal woman I've ever met. I see the God in you. They would try every possible line to get me to say yes. And there was something in that that I knew wasn't right because I never wanted the relationship to end. And then the relationship didn't work. And then, of course, we know what happens after that. It's awkward in the office. But I later found out that there was a bet going around in that office on who could sleep with me first. And so another example, and I'm not saying that every office will be that extreme, but you always want to take your time. And my advice, honestly, is that you never want to sleep where you work because it's never worth it. So I gave you a couple of commandments, but I want to turn it over to someone that I met during that time. And she worked in the beauty industry at the time. She was a recent college graduate. And, you know, there are going to be those people that you come across in life that just capture your heart. And I'm being super sappy because we don't normally talk like this. But my girl, Yanice, who I want to share with you guys a little bit about our first encounter. Because once you start grinding and growing as a professional, you always have to reach back and pull forward. And there's a young woman that you're going to speak to in a moment who I saw myself in. And I always try to keep my feet planted firmly because I'm always reminded that I did not get into these spaces and these places alone. And so Yanice was one of those people that when I met her, I knew that I had a responsibility to do my part as a black mentor, sister in her life to make sure that she reached her full potential, because I have people and what I call angels in my life that did the same. So, guys, welcome Yanice Joshua to Off the Record. She's a little shy, but not really, so don't fall for it.
Hi, everyone. This wasn't planned.
Okay, so Yanice, tell everyone about the moment that we met, because I think that so often you hear stories about women being catty with each other, women hating on each other. We don't support and uplift each other. And I found in my career that to not be the case. So can you just tell the listeners just a few minutes about how we met and exactly, and be honest.
It's such a
good
story.
What was your first impression of me, and how has that changed over time?
Well, I say this all the time. I first met Valisha on the blogs. I didn't meet Valisha in real life. And the blogs, they were like, she's an actress, she's a model. And then, long story short, Sabrina Thompson had a trunk show when she had a jewelry company called Bean Pie. She had a trunk show, and she said, my three friends and I started a nonprofit organization called WEAN, Women Entertainment Empowerment Network. I'd love for you to be a part of it. We're having our launch party next week, and we're packing bags on Saturday at the Baby Fat offices, is what she said. So when I show up there, Sabrina was there, and Lauren Lake was there, and Valisha was there, and I was like, oh my God, like, she has a job? Like, I was shocked. I was like, I didn't think that she had a job.
Shade? I don't know if that's shade, but we're gonna keep going with the story. Okay, thanks.
So the moment I fell in love with Valisha was, we were all sitting around having girl talk, packing these gift bags full of stuff, and we were talking about hair extensions. And Lauren said, I have a whole hair chest, right? And Valisha said, I do my own hair. I'm a kitchen beautician. And I was like, you do? And she unclipped her clip-ins in front of like 20 people. And I was like, oh my God, I love her. So fast forward to the actual launch party, and it's lights, camera, action. Everyone who was anyone was there. And I was a volunteer that night, and I didn't speak to Sabrina. I didn't speak to Valisha because I was nervous. I was scared. I was 23. And at the end, I was there with my friend who I brought in to volunteer with me. She was like, go say hi to her. So I finally go up to her, and I was like, I was very timid. And if you know me, you know that I'm not a timid person, but I was like very timid and shy. And I was like, hi, Valisha, I'm Yanice. We met on Sunday, and Valisha gave me this big hug, and she was like, I'm so glad you came. Did you enjoy yourself? And it was really a genuine connection. I didn't feel like she was being fake. Like, she remembered who I was. And, once WEAN meetings started picking up, and I was the youngest person on the committee, and I didn't realize how hot of a ticket the committee was to be on the planning committee. And I was the youngest person there, and I was learning the very hard way that I may have been a leader in college and a leader in high school, but these are grown women with grown careers and grown paychecks, and my rough and tumble way of working was not going to work with them. So one night, I was actually in Valisha's office. It was like 7 o'clock, and Valisha looked at me. She was like, why are you here? And I was like, you asked me to come here. She was like, no. Why are you here? Why are you in this industry? Why? Cause I was working in banking and I was an executive assistant at an investment bank, and I had a beauty blog. And I was still trying to figure out what I want to do. And I was just like, well, since she's coming to me hard, I'm coming to her hard. And I'm like, because I want it. And she was like, I will put you on my back. I will teach you everything I know. You are going to get beat up, but you will come out of this stronger, and you will get everything that you'll never learn in school. Are you riding? And I was like, yes. And from that day, I was like Valisha's unpaid assistant. I would work from 9 to 5, and then I'd be at her office from 5:30 to whenever it was. Like, my phone would ring at all times of the night. I'd have all kinds of emails. I'd have all kinds of text messages. I would be responsible for all these answers, but it's something that I would have never learned anyplace else. Like, I wasn't going to get that education. So I was exhausted for months, but it was worth it because I learned what Felicia would always tell me is like, you have all the fire and you have all the finesse, but you have to learn how to have more of that finesse and less of that fire to get what you need. So it was an invaluable experience that, like, that first year of us knowing each other. It was intense.
It was intense. And I can honestly say that, like, Yanis is being very modest right now, but she is now the co-founder and co-owner of the Technique Agency with Tekoa Hash, one of the most successful beauty agencies in the world. And I'm so, so very proud of her as an entrepreneur. She's also my co-manager. But she's such a boss. And so I'm so proud of you, Yaya. Okay, so this gives you an idea of what to expect on Off the Record. You can also expect a star-studded lineup moving forward. We wanted this episode to be very grounded in who I am, what the show's about, want to introduce you to Yanis, and really understand just the beginning of what it's going to take for you to get your foot in the door, be memorable, but most importantly, to have staying power. And so Yanis's example hopefully gives you an example of what is required of you when you are able to break through those ceilings. You have to make sure that you are lifting and pulling and growing the people around you. If not, you're doing this thing for all the wrong reasons. I'll stop by just saying that in all of my time, whether that was working for Russell Simmons or for President Barack Obama, I have never received an opportunity. And then when I say never, never from traditional measures, meaning a traditional resume being submitted on a website and getting interviewed and then finally getting myself in the door until the Google opportunity. But you have got to create opportunities for yourself. And President Barack Obama is another example of how when I was working for Russell Simmons at the time, at this point now I'm a boss. I'm making a great six-figure salary. I have the title and all of the benefits. And I still was willing to become an unpaid volunteer for President Barack Obama's campaign while having all of those things just because it was the right thing to do. And sure enough, when he was elected the night before, I went to a rally in North Carolina. He pulled me aside just before he took the stage and he said, "I just want to thank you for being willing to invest in me as an unpaid volunteer. I know the work wasn't easy. I want to thank you for doing the work. And I promise you that if I'm elected, we'll make sure that you have an opportunity in my administration." And sure enough, he was elected the next day. The inauguration came a few months later, and then I received a call from the White House and was eventually appointed to the administration in 2009. And so just remember that the work you do and the investments you make are not in vain. I can guarantee you, you are on the right track. I can promise you that if you are living your life with your feet planted on the ground and you're walking in your purpose, not the purpose of your parents, not the purpose of your boyfriend, not the purpose of your friends and the people around you, but walking in your purpose, I promise you that it will pay off. And so we look forward to seeing you for the next episode of Off the Record with Felicia. We will have a star-studded guest. We're going to talk about some hot topics, but most importantly, we're going to talk about you and making sure that you're getting to where you need to be in the next step of your life. Until then, take care of yourself. Be well. See you soon. And let's go have a baby. Thanks, guys.